Hey, good morning. Welcome to Calvary Heights Baptist Church. Happy Resurrection Sunday. We are glad you are with us today. Thank you for tuning in. Such an unusual way to present an Easter Sunday sermon, but you know, we do what we can do in these times, and we just thank you guys for tuning in and being here with us. We had a wonderful time in our small group this morning, and we are glad that everyone was able to show up for that, and we appreciate those guys that were there. We just thank everybody for being here. Well, let's go ahead. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24. If you've got your Bible with you this morning, go ahead and tune in or turn to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at the first 12 verses of Luke 24. You'll see it here on the screen next to me. I want to make sure that I'm able to see it. If you've we kind of go through things in our booth this morning, there's a lot of screens around me. I feel like I'm like on the bridge of the Enterprise, trying to keep everything in track, so bear with me a little bit. Let's take a look. Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they did, when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Man, such a great story. But it is a strange message for a strange time, and I find it interesting that that was a strange time then, and it's a strange time for us now, and we're going to be taking a deep look into this bit of Scripture today and really looking at it and talking about the risenness of Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we just thank you so much for the day you've given us. We thank you for this time we have to gather, even though it's electronically, we're still able to gather and have corporate worship with you today. Father, I pray that as we are here and we're listening and we're looking at the word, that you would just speak to our hearts, that you would just open us up and illumine in us what you'd have us to know is the truth. Father, we just pray that you would just be with us, that you would just seriously speak to us deeply today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we are, Luke chapter 24, and it tells a story that's really the single most important event in human history. This is the story. This section here, this moment, is what all of Christianity hinges on. If it were not for the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, none of his earlier teachings would matter. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ would be completely insignificant if Jesus remained dead. But the beauty of this is that he did not. When you get that, he did not remain dead. So Luke tells the story of resurrection kind of like it's a breaking newscast. There's a lot of this just in kind of moments as Luke recounts the events of that day. And it's great. The whole last chapter of the book of Luke is that way. From this moment where there's all these this just in and what these folks are seeing here with the ladies and then Peter and all of this at the tomb to then the men on the road to Emmaus and then later on in the same chapter, Jesus appearing to the 12, and just all of this is happening on. And it's just this beautiful kind of this just in kind of moment. And it's just neat the way that Luke portrays the story of the resurrection here. So let's take a look at this, though. It is early Sunday morning. And it's the beginning of the Jewish work week on Sunday morning, right? Jesus had been crucified and buried on Saturday. Or on Friday, I'm sorry. Jesus has been crucified and buried on Friday. Saturday was the Sabbath. And now some of Jesus' female followers were coming to the grave with spices to anoint his body. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that the ladies were even wondering how they would get into the tomb because a stone had been placed in front of that tomb. And so when the ladies get there, they come upon this strange scene. Right? Now, when we look at this in the Gospels, the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the story says that the ladies were kind of there. They witnessed that stone being rolled over. They followed Jesus' body as Joseph of Arimathea had taken the body and they'd put it there in the tomb. They watched it all happen. They watched that stone be rolled in. And here they come, and this the tomb is open. Now, these stones that they're talking about are not like a rock, like we think of a rock. This would have been a large hewn wheel, stone wheel, probably 3,000 or 4,000 pounds of whatever stone was available. And it not just rolled in front, but it actually rolled into like a channel that would have blocked the tomb. But here it was opened. This would have been a huge feat for several men to get open. And so that was strange to come upon. And then not only was the tomb open, the tomb was empty. So this is a strange scene. The women had been present for all of this. They had witnessed all this. They knew about this Roman guard from the palace that had been placed at the grave and at the tomb to kind of watch over that. But they walked up to find the tomb open and empty. Now, I want you to understand this, that this must have been, in some regards, heartbreaking to these women. They were devoted followers of Jesus Christ. I can't imagine on my own, while grieving, wanting to get up before sunrise to do anything. But these ladies were. They were that devoted to Jesus Christ that they got up before sunrise to head to the tomb to take spices to anoint his body, to give him a proper embalming for the time. And so they came there, and they did it really in hopes that they could get there. It wasn't even that they had an assurance that they could do this. It was about hopes that they could give his body that proper anointing. They hoped they could talk the Roman guard into helping them open the tomb. They hoped these things, and they show up, and they find the tomb opened and empty. See, it is bad enough that these ladies witnessed a dear loved one killed. It was bad enough that they witnessed him being buried. Now they're coming in and finding his body missing. Look at verses 4 and 5 here. Verses 4 and 5, here are some strange men wearing dazzling clothes. Now we learn later in verse 23 of the same chapter that these men were angels. And the women respond to seeing angels by falling on their faces before them. This is the appropriate response. If the glory of angels causes people to fall to the ground in reverence, I want you to think about what the image of seeing God, God Almighty, creator of the universe, would be like and how much glory that would be. So these women come upon these strange men. And the strange men give them kind of this strange message. Starting in the second part of verse 5 through verse 7, the angels give a strange message to the women, right? Why do you seek the living among the dead? I love this. This is a great question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? This question is one of the most beautiful phrases, I think, that's ever been recorded in all of Scripture. It does so much in this one simple phrase. Why do you seek the living among the dead? See, it corrects this misunderstanding that the women had, right? And it also makes this announcement to the world. It says, you are looking in the wrong place. You shouldn't be able to find a living person in a graveyard, right? That's not what it's about here. It says, verse 6 is just as beautiful as verse 5 when we read it. It says, he is not here. He has risen. Oh my goodness, that is just so neat. So this is a strange message when you're expecting to find a sealed tomb of a friend and a loved one. It's a strange message because the women had forgotten that Jesus had taught them when they were in Galilee with him. Now these were women that had been with Jesus' ministry for almost the full 3 years that he was out ministering in life. These were women who were with him pretty consistently. These were women who financially supported the ministry of Jesus Christ while he was ministering here on earth. And they had forgotten his teachings. That's something that happens to a lot of us. See, Jesus had told his followers numerous times that he must suffer, he must die, and he must rise again 3 days later. And the women, like all of his followers, should have been in a state of anticipation instead of a state of dismay. It would be natural for them to grieve and mourn the pain that Jesus suffered. Like that's natural. We see somebody hurt, we see somebody ache, we see somebody in pain, we mourn and we grieve that. I think of times in my own life when I've seen loved ones in pain, loved ones hurting, loved ones sick or ill in the hospital, and I have grieved and I have mourned for their sake. And it would be all natural, but we say that it is natural to grieve and mourn the pain that Jesus suffered, but to feel and act defeated the way they do here shows that they have missed the gospel message. They had forgotten the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, not remembering the gospel is genuinely one of the greatest struggles that a Christian will still face in life. See, when we forget the gospel of Jesus Christ, we forget everything. We forget who to focus on. See, remembering the gospel is the most important thing that a Christian can do. Keeping the truth of Jesus Christ should be first and foremost in our minds and in our hearts. We have a horrible problem. The hymn writer says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I know." Like, it's just there. We forget. We wander. We stray from the truth of the gospel. See, if you keep Jesus Christ as your Savior, you must strive to keep your feet on the path of his teaching. See, when we are focused on Jesus Christ, he will keep us from being completely overcome by the troubles and the sorrows we face. We'll still face them, and we'll never really be free of sorrows and troubles this side of eternity. But he will keep us from being completely overcome by those. I think of a time in my own life when just my world felt like it was crashing down upon me. That Thursday afternoon when I found out that my father had been killed in an accident and my mother was in a coma due to the accident. And I remember just feeling those troubles and that weight. And I remember what I did is I just turned to Jesus. I just started praying and crying and crying and praying and just focused on him. And I remember prepping all of these things in my mind, all of these things in my heart, and thinking it through. And I remembered feeling this odd peace during this time of what should have been overwhelming sorrow in my life. See, know this truth here, that those of us who have trusted Christ, those of us who remember the gospel, and we stay to his teaching, will be able to rejoice even in the face of death and despair. A friend of mine was asking me how I was doing during that. A friend of mine who had been a pastor and had been my pastor at one point. And he said, how are you holding up? And I remember being able to say to him, facing that time of trouble in my life, that I grieved and I mourned, but yet I could rejoice knowing that my father knew Christ and was saved. I grieved and I mourned, but I knew that no matter what happened with the outcome with my mom in that coma, she knew Christ, and I could rejoice later. Those of us who have the gospel are able to rejoice even when we face death and despair in our lives. It's one of the odd things that makes Christians unique. In verse 8, the ladies remember what Jesus had said, and they run back to where the 11 apostles were. Right? The ladies give this strange report to all the folks that are there. They recount the entire story to the 11 apostles and to the others that were gathered up in that room, but they aren't believed. And that's easy. We tell a strange story sometimes when we share the love of Christ, we share the truth of Jesus, and we aren't necessarily believed. That's okay. They persisted, though. See, the 11, in their grief, had forgotten the gospel as well. They had forgotten what Jesus had told them in Galilee as they were following. Now, these were men who, when we think about it, should have known better than anyone else. These were guys who not just listened to Jesus' teaching, but they lived with Jesus Christ day in and day out for 3 years. Being a disciple in this time wasn't just being taught. It wasn't a teacher-student relationship like we think now. No matter how close we can get with our students, it's not the same. These guys shared life together. And in their grief, they forgot the gospel message as well. But Peter. Oh, Peter. Peter rose up and he ran to the tomb, right? He wanted to see for himself. He wanted to make sure what these ladies were saying was true. When we think about Peter's story and how he had just Wednesday night or Thursday night before Christ's being taken out, that Thursday night had told him, I will never betray you. I will never deny you, my Lord. I will never do these things. And yet three times between Thursday night and Friday morning, Peter did deny Christ. And he acted cowardly in that way. I wonder if in him running to that tomb, I wonder if Peter wasn't running, trying to make up for his cowardly behavior just 3 days earlier. I wonder about that, that if he wasn't trying to make the last time he saw his Savior a time that, or his Lord, his teacher, his rabbi, if he wasn't trying to make up for the way he had behaved. But Peter runs and he gets to that tomb, and what he finds there is confirms what the ladies had seen. What we see described in Scripture is that Peter found, when he gets to the tomb, also confirms that what he saw was supernatural. Peter finds the linen cloths all by themselves. Now this is a strange thing to happen. This would have been a very strange thing for any old grave robbers to do. When we read what happens in the Apostle John's account of this story, it not only tells us that the linen cloths were placed by themselves, but the cloth that covered Jesus' face was folded neatly at the head of the grave. Now, that's another interesting, strange fact, that folded neatly and placed at the head of the grave is this sign in a Jewish table, especially at the time of a Seder, that I'm going to be coming back. I'm not done here yet. I'm going to fold up my napkin neatly so that when I come back, I'll return. And it was all of this when Peter gets there into that tomb that jogged Peter's mind and reminded him the truth of the gospel. So here is this strange story telling a strange message in a strange time. And it's the story of a God who loved the people who had rebelled against him and had forgotten him so much. He loved them so much, he sent them a Savior who would suffer and die in their place, only to rise from the grave to overcome death for all who believe. That's the strange story of the gospel. And the gospel changes lives. This gospel, when believed, overcomes the weightiness and the despair of the world. This gospel frees you from that. And the gospel is this wonderfully kind of simple message. And it talks about God's design. So as we look at this, God's design is this, that we see beauty and purpose and evidence of God all around us. The Bible tells us that God originally planned for the world, and the way it originally worked out was that everything worked perfectly, where everything and everyone fit together in harmony. God made each of us with a purpose, and that purpose was to worship him and to walk with him. The Bible says in Genesis 1:31 that God saw that all he had made was good, and it was very good. And then in Psalm 19:1, it says, the heavens and the earth, or the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hands. But we know what happens in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve were deceived, and they sinned. And so life doesn't work when we ignore God and his original design for our lives, that their sin brought sin to all of us, and that we selfishly insist on doing things our own way. The Bible calls that sin. And we all sin, and we all distort the original design. And the consequence of our sin is separation from God in this life and for all of eternity. Romans 3:23 reminds us that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that in Romans 6:23, the first part of that verse says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, the second part of that verse is where it's great, though, but the forgiveness that for all the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of eternal life comes through Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at that. But that sin in our lives brings us to a state of brokenness. So sin leads us to this place of brokenness, and we see this all around us in our own lives as well. When we realize that life is not working, we begin to look for a way out. We tend to look in many different directions, trying many different things to try to figure out everything on our own. Brokenness leads to a place of realizing a need for something greater. Romans 1:25 says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served something created instead of the Creator. And that's why remembering and knowing and responding to the gospel is so important. See, at this point, we needed a remedy. We needed some good news. Because of his love, God did not just leave us in our brokenness. Right? God loves us so much that he's not going to leave us hanging out there just grasping at straws trying to find something. Jesus, God in human flesh, came to us and lived perfectly according to God's design. Jesus came to rescue us, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He took on all of our sin and all of our shame on that cross. He paid the penalty of our sins by his death. Jesus was then raised from the dead to provide the only way for us to be rescued and restored to a relationship with God. Scripture says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world in this way he gave his one and only Son. And in Colossians 2:14 it says he erased the certificate of debt and he has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. So when we hear that gospel message, we have a choice of responding here. The appropriate response is to repent and believe. Now, simply hearing the good news is just not going to be enough. We must admit our sinful brokenness and stop trusting in ourselves. So we don't have the power within us to escape this brokenness on our own. We need to be rescued. We must ask God to forgive us, turning from sin to trust in Jesus only. This is what it means to repent and to believe. Believing, we receive new life through Jesus Christ, and God turns our lives in a new direction. Scripture says in Mark 1:15, repent and believe in the good news. And in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. And then in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And when that happens, when we cry out and we ask God, when we've heard that gospel, and we beg for his forgiveness, and we turn and we seek his ways, then we are in this mode of recover and pursue. See, when God restores our relationship to him, we will begin to discover the meaning and purpose of our life in this broken world. Now we can pursue God's design in all the areas of our lives. And even when we fall and fail, because we will, trust me, we will, we understand God's pathway to be restored. This same good news of Jesus. Remember how the ladies didn't remember the gospel, but when they did, it changed everything for them. That Peter had forgotten the gospel, but when he remembered it, it changed everything for him. Peter becomes one of the greatest preachers of the early church. The ladies continue to support the ministry of the apostles. See, God's Spirit empowers us to pursue his design and it assures us of his presence in this life and for all eternity. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose." And in Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." So you've heard all this, and the question then would be, so what now? What should I do now? Right? Now that you've heard this good news, God wants you to respond. Now you can talk to him using words like what you see here on the slide. You know, my life's broken. I recognize it's because of my sin that I need you. You can just say, I believe in Christ, came to live, die, and was raised from the dead to rescue me from my sin. You can just cry out to God saying, "Forgive me. I turn my selfish ways over to you, and I put my trust in you." And just say that I know that Jesus is Lord of all, and I will follow him. The scriptures say in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's the message we hear today, that as we see the grave that is empty, this tomb that is no longer filled, what we really see is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That we know the truth, that those of us who call on Jesus will be saved. Today, as we kind of talk about the grave, and we talk about this, I want you to think about this. Think about what we've talked about here. And I want you to pray about your response. If you don't know Jesus personally, if you know that you're outside of God's design, today is a day for you to ask to get back in it, to turn from your brokenness, to ask him to change your life. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the truth of the gospel, that you designed this world to be a perfect place, but it is our sin that has created brokenness and distance between us and you. Father, we know that the gospel message is this, that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived out your design perfectly in his life. He is you in flesh, and he willingly sacrificed himself for rebellious and stubborn people. And Father, that sacrifice paid the price for the sin that I cannot pay for. Father, call us to repent. Call us to believe in this message so that we may recover and pursue you in your design. Father, if there's somebody here who's hearing this message for the first time, speak to their hearts. Move in them. Father, for those who are forgotten the gospel message, that everything we do is about Jesus and for his glory, remind us of the gospel. And Father, I pray that as we depart from here, that you would just continue to speak to us. You would bless us. You'd remind us to pursue you above all things. We thank you, Lord, for this time we've had to be in your word this morning. We praise you and thank you for the resurrection that brings life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Guys, we thank you so much. Know that God loves you and that we love you, and that if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. You can send us a message through Messenger. You can send us an email at office@calvaryheights.org. Get a hold of us sometime soon. We are responding to those things as much as we can right now, and frequently, and trying to get to them quickly. We appreciate you guys tuning in today. We'll be back. Chris will be back, actually, at 6:30 this evening for our last of our Holy Week devotions, and so encourage you to tune in for that. If you would like to be a part of our small groups, you can send us an email at office@calvaryheights.org, and we can get you plugged into one of our online small groups right now. And do remind you about Coffee with Calvary Heights early in the mornings. If you would like to be a part of that as well, you can be a part of that. We get in at about 8 o'clock. Right now we're reading through the book of Proverbs, and taking some time to pray. We thank you so much for joining us this morning for our time of sermon. We ask that you guys would just continue to keep praying and seeking God in all that you do. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.